We are the 1, 2, 3
SAR Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I am pretty much a sports genius.
Hey, yo, I'm Producer Eddie, and I am an average sports fan. I love to watch sports, but I just don't know the who's or the what's what's.
What's up, you guys? I am Ray. I absolutely love sports. I'm from the North. I like ice hockey. I like ice fishing, and I love shotgunning beers at the local bars.
That's what I like to hear. I wonder if Ray's ever been ice fishing in his life.
I would think that he probably has been grow up in the North.
I would say 100% no.
Ray?
I've been on the ice with friends.
Stop.
But,
it's over.
No. If you lose the lure and the gear, parents get so pissed at you.
The lure and the gear?
Yeah. Growing up, we would go with dads. You'd go walk on the ice. You'd drive a truck on the ice. But the act of actually ice fishing, I don't think I've ever done.
Oh.
Because they get so critical.
But he does love ice fishing.
He loves ice fishing. He's never been.
Right. I just wanted to check on the facts of your introduction because we've seen a poke holes in it every day. But hey, if you're an ice fisherman, congratulations. I'm glad you enjoy it, even though you've never done it. Because I love flying planes.
Have you ever flown a plane?
Nope, but I enjoy it.
I mean, that's what we're learning from Ray's intro. You can just basically say whatever you love, but you don't have to do it. You can just say whatever.
I tried to name something from the North. Ice fishing. I've been on the ice when people are ice fishing. I love ice fishing.
I love
deep sea diving. I love going down in the deep, deep ocean and dive.
Yeah? What have you seen down there?
Oh, I've never been.
Oh, okay, cool.
Do you realize, Ray, how dumb that sounded?
All right, I will update it so that I no longer say I love ice fishing.
Hey, but you know what? Fishing is a sport. And if I may say that I am an avid fisherman, and when I went to Wisconsin one time, I saw people ice fishing, and dude, it looks pretty darn cool. They set up a tent in the middle of the frozen lake, and they drill a hole. I mean,
and you know some people light fires on the ice. The ice is that
they
thick.
Have heaters yes. in their tent, and I'm just like, dude, you're going to melt the ice under your feet.
Oh, I saw Grumpy Old Men, and they do it on that movie. But my question is, I mean, I've never done it.
This may be a really good question.
Ask away.
How do you drill the hole and the whole ice not just start cracking?
No, it's really thick, dude.
I understand, but when you drill a hole in something, doesn't crack start forming in the ice?
Okay, let me give you an example.
I've never...
Have you been...
Oh, you're going to say, have you ever drilled a hole in wood?
No, because ice is different than wood. Have you ever gone to those places where they sculpt ice? You know, if you go to an event and they have
see those and I don't understand how they do that either.
Because ice that thick does not crack like that. It's like a block. It's like a rock.
That doesn't crack.
But, coach, here's the thing, though. When I go fishing, say I take the kids to the river or the lake or whatever, I fish for about 5 minutes in one spot. If I'm not getting a bite in 5 minutes, guess what? I'm moving to the other side of the lake. These guys that go ice fishing, they're screwed. Like, they pick their one little hole. Drop the line straight down, and if they don't catch anything, they're done. Like,
that's usually why that you have buddies in other tents, and you can go across. They're just like neighbors on the ice, and you get their holes then.
Oh, really?
Yes, absolutely.
You share holes?
Yeah, you can share holes.
I don't know if I'm sharing a hole.
Dude, it's a community out there on the ice. You're driving trucks. Some people are doing food runs. Some people are sharing holes. All of it.
Food runs? I thought they just cooked the fish they catch.
Wait, oh, there?
Yeah.
Dude, not in 2018. No. You got a guy doing a beer run. Another guy's going to the fast food place down the street. You're not out there just surviving and thriving.
Okay.
God, would you guys ever want to talk about hunting and fishing on this show?
No, that's not really.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
those are sports.
Yeah.
Sportsmen. That's what they call them.
Dude, you just brought an interesting angle. We really could talk a little hunting and fishing.
Dude.
Because that is sports.
Let me tell you a little something.
Let me tell you all the huge hunting and fishing shows that are out there nationally.
Go ahead.
There you go. That's it.
Cabela's comes out with a great series of buck hunting.
I was going to say Bassmaster. They have those tournaments on TV. I'll watch them for 20 minutes.
Me too.
I understand that. Are they on a podcast? Do they have a podcast or a radio show?
Probably not.
Nah, probably not.
I love those bass tournaments that they have on TV. You just hear the guy.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
The mics are always like up to the guy where he's like, oh, you hear is breathing the whole time. Yeah, I got my top water lure on this. Oh, there it is. There it is.
Coach,
coming in.
You just did a great example.
Oh, that's a big one right there. Oh, all right, get the scale on that one. All right, it's about 5 pounds right there, 5.2. All right, throw him back in. And that's what it is. It's 30 minutes or an hour of that.
And then the play-by-play guy comes in. He goes, yeah, he's been fishing that hole all day. He finally got his first catch. Now we're going to go over to the back corner of the lake over there, Mark. Mark is working right now on a big one. It looks like he's got on the line.
Here it is. Oh, man, this is a heavy one right there. Get the net ready. Oh, there it is. It's a beauty right there. Look at that, 6.7 pounds.
That is Mark's first fish of the day. We're going to check back in with him. Now we're going to go to the bayou. Look at this thing. It looks like there's a ton of fish out there.
Oh, God, I haven't gotten anything here tonight. Man, it's a slow day, man. I've been out here for 3 hours. Oh, I got a bite. There it is. There's that bite coming in. I mean, that's your show right there. We've pretty much done the whole show.
That was amazing.
That is the show. And you want to know my favorite thing about
did you like the...
Yeah, I did like that.
All right, thank you.
My buddy growing up, his name was Russell. One of the most book smart guys I have ever met in my life. He went to Stanford, graduated Harvard Law School. Smartest dude ever. We got into an argument one day because he was like, have you ever watched those fishing shows on TV? He goes, every time they cast, they catch a fish.
No, oh, my God.
And I
said, so he's just not street smart.
I said, Russell, you do understand they edit that. And he goes, no, they do not. They are that good that every time they cast, they catch a fish. And we got in a huge blown up argument when we were kids about if they edit the TV show or not. And I will never forget it because I'm like, you are one of the smartest people I have ever met. And you did not realize they edit the TV show. You thought these guys were so good that they could just throw it in the water and catch a fish every time.
That's funny. Do you ever watch the hunting shows?
Nope.
Those kind of sadden me a little bit. Because, I mean, you see a live animal. The guy's sitting there in the blind or whatever in the stand. And then you see a nice-looking big buck. And he's walking, loving life, like, doo-doo-doo, down the street. There it is right there. There he is. And you watch the scope go right to his heart. Pa-pah! And the deer's dead. And it's just like, dang, he just took a life just like that, like right now. It's almost like a murder show, but in real life.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a total downer. I mean,
you know what's a total upper, though? Is when we play a game called
Would You Rather!
Game on!
Would you rather have nosy neighbors or noisy neighbors?
I'll go first. I hate a nosy neighbor. I've lived by a nosy neighbor, and I couldn't stand that dude, and I'm going to throw him out in Front Street right now. Mark, if you're listening, I'm so glad I moved away because I hated being your neighbor. He was so freaking nosy. Mark would always come up when I'm grilling in the backyard, put a little head over the fence, be like, what are you cooking today, neighbor?
Wilson?
Mark, I don't care. It's not for you. Mark would walk into my garage and be like, I was working on something in my garage. Mark would go, you ever thought about cleaning up this garage a little bit? Mark, get the F out of my garage, really, like out. I'd rather have a noisy neighbor.
I'm going to have to say go with nosy. I'm fine with nosy. I have a noisy neighbor. Dude, every Friday, Saturday night, there's noises below you. We have a baseball bat. We have to hit our floor.
You can hear it below you?
Hopefully. And we'll pound it. My girlfriend will pound it. And then finally, they'll stop the music. Dude. When they start playing the loud music, you realize real quick, man, I need to live in the country. I'm done with city living, but 5 years later, I still live downtown in an apartment. What up? But it sucks.
That would be weird, having a noisy neighbor when you're in an apartment, but
sure.
I would rather have a noisy neighbor all day long. I lived next to a nosy neighbor when my first house I ever bought. And this lady
was... What was the address?
I'm not going to tell you the address because...
You don't live there anymore.
I know, but you can still go by and see the neighbor, and that's a little rude. I don't want to put them out on Front Street. But
just say their name like I did.
I don't even know her
name.
South
Austin.
But they didn't have streetlights in my neighborhood. They just had little lamps in the front yard, and that was the streetlight. And so the Homeowners Association required you to have a working lamp in your front yard.
Oh, my gosh.
So mine, when I bought the house, was broken. And I was 25 years old, so I'm not going to fix it, whatever. I don't care. I'm just worried about going to the bar on the weekend and, you know, bringing chicks home. I didn't care about fixing a lamp. So my neighbor lady...
They send you a letter? How do they tell you you have to change your light?
Basically, they send you a letter. They have someone that drives around your neighborhood. But anyway, I had the neighbor lady come over one day. I'm getting in the car, and she goes, oh, I noticed your lamp's broken. This is how you can fix it. And she gives me detailed instructions about how she fixed her lamp and how I can do the same thing. A week later... I still haven't fixed the lamp because I don't care about the lamp. I come out to my car, and she has now wrote the instructions word by word, step by step on a piece of paper and put it on my windshield.
That's funny.
And I'm like,
okay. She's like, now fix your lamp.
Yes, now fix my lamp. Guess what? I never fixed my lamp.
Did they fine you?
They can, but they never did. Like, they didn't. I don't know if they really care. And they ended up putting streetlights in my neighborhood. Then I'd be in my backyard trimming the trees. She would come in her backyard and be like, you might want to get that branch. What about that branch
That's
over
what
there?
I'm talking about.
I'm like, lady, go back inside your house.
Get away from me.
You are annoying.
You guys have had some nosies. No, I've had my share of nosies. I ain't had a nosy,
oh,
really.
A nosy. You just can't get rid of them because they want to know everything. They want to be all up in your business.
I used to go in my neighborhood. There were two ways to come in. There was the one way to come in and go to your house, but there was a back way. But if I took the back way, I could park on the front of my street and face the way that I need to go straight out for the next day at work. So I like to go in and drive around the neighborhood and then park my car with the front pointed the exit of the neighborhood. So I'm ready to go in the morning, right? That way I don't have to back it up or whatever. Just get in my car and go.
Love it.
One day I do that and Mark comes out. He's like, hey.
Oh, the same guy you're talking
same
about.
Same guy,
earlier.
Mark. Hey, neighbor. I just wondering. Like, why do you drive around the neighborhood and then park your car that way? I'm like, man, what the? Mark, let me tell you something. It's none of your business why I park that way. Just wondering, you know, it's very odd that you come in the neighborhood. I'm like, dude.
So there's two exits to your neighborhood.
Yes.
Okay. Can I just tell you something? What is different? What? I'm with Mark here.
It doesn't matter, nosy neighbor.
I
it's none of your business.
But you said you would drive the long way around to park your car facing that way to go out. So why not drive the short way around and park it this way to go out that way?
How do I explain it?
Please don't draw the map over the radio.
I mean, not think people care.
Mark, how can I explain this to you? Shut the up.
Yes. So
please tell me you told him that.
No, I never told
him. I'm
going
to tell you
like
what,
that.
And we got the most reaction yesterday about our unlimited gift card for food or clothes we've ever got on the Sore
Loser
Show Twitter.
That's a popular topic.
And so we're going to put this up because I feel like people are going to have some strong opinions
absolutely
on the nosy neighbor or the noisy neighbor.
And I've also come up with the idea that we should probably just forget the sports part of the podcast and just do games like this. Would you rather and talk an hour about this?
Why do you think people care about this more?
I mean, I'm just, it's interesting.
It is interesting. But that is how we play
Would You Rather! Game on!
Woo! And something that bothered me yesterday, and it's not even the show, it goes on in the NFL. Reuben Foster was released by the San Francisco 49ers this weekend after allegedly pushing his girlfriend, knocking her phone out of her hand.
Slap.
Yes. And he was charged
Keyword.
With domestic assault. His second instance in the last year with that at the 2017 Combine, he shoved a hospital employee. And there's been just a lot of reports about him and an anger issue and things that have gone on in his life. And he gets released. And the Redskins claim him on waivers. Like they, so he's now a Washington Redskin. And I just don't understand, if we want to get serious about taking a stand against domestic violence, how they just go and claim this guy 2 days after he's been charged, like he's been arrested once again for another incident. He has a pattern. He needs help. He comes from a very, very troubled background. Very rough. When he was, he was really young, months old, I think. His dad shot his mom and shot him. They both survived. The dad went, you know, got arrested, went to jail, escaped, and was on the run for 19 years. He got captured. He was captured in Florida.
He was on the run for 19 years?
Yes.
Wow.
And he got captured when Reuben Foster went to Alabama to play football. There's something obviously wrong with Reuben Foster. Nick Saban, even before the draft, came out and said a team has to have some people around him that can help him. And just by signing him, by the Redskins claiming him, it sends the wrong message to A, that they're taking a stand on domestic violence, and it doesn't allow Reuben Foster to realize, man, I need help. He's like, you know what? Look, I keep getting more chances and more chances and more chances. Why not wait and let him get help and then maybe sign him? Why? It looks bad to me that they claimed him so soon, 2 days later. There's no way you can investigate that and find out if he's guilty, not guilty in 2 days. it sends the message that I don't care. We are trying to win football games, and that's all that matters.
And the Redskins probably knew that maybe what they did wasn't the best thing. They're going to get a little bit of a reaction. So they had to post on Twitter. They came out with this statement and said, we've got to put this out, da-da-da-da-da. And they explained it, not just a couple sentences. They put out a couple paragraphs.
What did they say?
We'll fully investigate, da-da-da-da.
Will he play?
No, he's on the NFL exempt list. Like, he can't play until the NFL
investigates. So basically they're just claiming him.
Yes, because they eventually want to sign him. They want him to be a part of the Redskins organization.
Right.
Because he is a good football player.
Right.
But he obviously has some demons, some issues, and he needs help. And I just, it sends the wrong, if I'm a Redskins fan, as an NFL fan, as a human being, I think it just looks so bad. No other team put a claim in for him.
So, devil's advocate, obviously. If you, what's the other alternative, though? For him to go get help, maybe lose a year, 2 years of a playing time, or
whatever.
I think
he'd be out of the league.
I mean, I just don't know if he could come back. So you think, you look at it like we need to claim him because yes, football rules. Like, let's talk business. Let's keep him. He's a great football player. Number one, we want him in our organization. Step two, he has a problem. We need to fix that. So the money, the business will always come first in football, right? Winning will always come first. Don't we learn that from every scandal in college football and high school football and NFL? Like, it's just all with football rules. And you're right. It needs to get, they need to get serious with it, and they need to start by making examples of all this stuff. But at the end of the day, they don't want to do that because they want to win. Now, to kind of let both of those things happen, win and help the guy, you can claim him and have and let him get help while you claim him. Does that work?
Why not reach out to him and offer him help without claiming him?
Because you want him on your team. Because winning rules.
Right. But as a fan base, as a human being, I feel like, how do you explain that? If you're a fan of the Washington Redskins and you have a lot of women that support your team, how do fathers explain that to their children? Be like, oh yeah, you know, we just got Reuben Foster. I mean, he got cut for, you know, assaulting his girlfriend, on and off girlfriend. But you know what I mean? Winning matters. If they're serious, they could. Okay, we're not going to claim him, but hey, we still care about you as a human, and reach and try to get him help. And then maybe down the line, you sign him.
I have the Redskins statement. Cut me off when it gets boring. From Doug Williams, VP guy in the organization, player personnel. Today we've claimed the rights to linebacker Reuben Foster. The Redskins fully understand the severity of the recent allegations made against Reuben.
Hey, pronunciate. You don't have to remember real fast. Just talk.
Is that what I was doing?
You're just talking real fast. Just talk normal.
If true,
Doug Williams was their quarterback. I remember him. I thought that sounded familiar.
If true, you can be sure these allegations are nothing our organization would even condone. Let me be clear, comma. Reuben will have to go through numerous steps, including the full legal process and investigation and potential discipline from the NFL, as well as meetings with counselors associated with the team before he will ever have the opportunity to wear the burgundy and gold as a player.
Okay. Well, Coach, I think they're really trying to kill two birds with one stone here. Like, it's winning is important, business is important, making money is important, and it's also fixing him and helping him get help is important. I think they're trying to do both. It is a bad look, which is part of the process, I guess. You know, or else, see, and it's funny that we talk about this because last night I was at the part, and I'm always going to go back to Friday Night Lights, but I was at the part in Friday Night Lights, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Friday Night Lights, I'm going to just say something that happens. It's at the part where one of the players is taking steroids and he gets busted, and they're in the conversation of, do we get rid of this player, or do we hold the secret and make sure he gets clean, or how do we handle this process? Because, and the problem in this part of the movie was that if he gets penalized or kicked off the team for using steroids in high school, he may never, ever, ever play football again and not be able to use his God-given talent and all his hard work that he's done since then. That's high school level. This is the pro level.
Yeah.
If you cut him out for whatever, 1 year, 2 year, like Ray said, he may never play football again. And
sorry.
I know.
Sorry. You've had two incidents. I mean, you shove a hospital employee when at the combine.
Yeah.
Then you have charges against you earlier this year of same girl, domestic violence. She recanted her statement when it went to trial. They dropped charges. And then this one again, where he slaps her, knocks the phone out of her hand, pushes her against the whatever. And he does come from a rough background.
We know that, but that's no excuse.
Right. So he was 19 months old, but his mom survived also. They both survived the shooting, obviously. He did. And boy, it just...
You look at it like...
And Doug Williams says, if it's true, we don't condone it. Well, you are saying you condone it by signing him right away.
They're not saying that. It's perceived that way.
And I don't know, ESPN SportsCenter was showing the footage of him in court. I don't know if this is the most recent time or it was the first time.
I think it's the most recent.
Where he was in the orange jumpsuit. That's some crazy footage. You see all the other orange jumpsuit people behind him. There's like 30 of them. And they're all just looking at this dude that's like 6'7", 400 pounds.
He's a monster.
And every person, like, they're probably going to be in jail for years. They're glued to him and staring at his case. Like, really,
what's your point?
Why would they even care about this guy's case? Like, screw the other guy next to me. They are all peering at this guy like, what is going on? This is crazy. There's an NFL star, a huge guy right in front of us right now. We don't have anything else to live for. This is amazing right now in front of us. This guy could get out. This guy could have a better life. They're looking at a person that's about to just get out or something and have something good happen to him where they don't have anything good happen for them.
Right, and you say about the God-given talent, he won't be able to use that. Sorry, there's consequences to your actions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a theme here. There's a trend. It keeps happening over and over. So he needs help. And steroids are a lot different to me than hitting a woman.
Sure.
Totally different.
It's a huge difference.
Totally different. So I'm okay. They've given him so many chances. I just think it's a bad look that they were so quick to claim him without even doing any research, without even, thinking about the woman. It just looks bad. Like, hey, it's okay, you hit her, you can come be a Redskin, come on.
Yeah, in the world of being the first to do stuff, they were the first to do it, and it probably wasn't the best time to be the first to do it.
Again, though, through listening through his statement, they're going to keep investigating. If he does get cleared from this, then he'll play. If he doesn't, then I guess what they'll just keep him there and not let him play? Like, or they
exactly.
get rid of him, or
they'll,
what?
They'll let him play.
Football rules, dude.
Football rules, and it's just a bad look. I just thought it sent the wrong message, and I thought it was gross, and it felt wrong.
It doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right. They have the right to run their organization how they want to run it, but if I'm a Redskins fan, as a human, I just look at it, and I'm like, kind of dirty. Now, on to the topic. Kyler Murray.
Oh.
What?
I thought, go. As long as we're talking about somebody in the top five.
Yeah, Kyler Murray. So, at the end of this year...
He loves Oklahoma. This dude is rooting Oklahoma.
Well, I thought we were
getting
towards the top five that were announced.
We'll get there.
It's in there. We're going to meander our way.
We're going to sort of weave our way. So, Kyler Murray. I want to... Should he play Major League Baseball or should he go to the NFL? So, at the end of this year, he's supposed to give up football and go play for the Oakland A's. He was a first-round draft pick, got a little over $4 million signing bonus. He's making more than Lincoln Riley, the head coach at Oklahoma. So he's set for life. And he said it, the plan is still, I'm going to leave football and play baseball. Draft experts are saying he would go no longer lower than the second round of the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an advisor to him, what would you tell Kyler Murray to do?
Yeah, I mean, his advisor.
If you're Kyler Murray, what would you do?
Well, it's
either way.
I think it's an easy decision based on how you want to live the rest of your life. Do you want to play football? Be a good chance is a really, really good chance. Just at the style that he plays, he's a scrambler. He's got a good arm, but he's known for his running. He can run. He's a great quarterback at running the ball. It's those quarterbacks don't last in the NFL. One, and if you play baseball, you're going to make a crap load of money, dude, and you could play till you're 40 years old. And baseball players have a good life. Like, they play a lot of games, but dude, their seasons are long, they're chill, there's not a lot of stress until you get in the postseason. Like, play baseball.
And you know the crazy thing with baseball? All these signings happen, people get millions of dollars. a lot of these baseball guys, just because of the depth of teams, there's minor leagues, there's single, double, triple A baseball.
Rookie ball, there's winter ball, there's everything.
This guy may never, you may never even see him on TV, but if he goes to the NFL, it's almost guaranteed he'll probably get a shot at being a starting quarterback. In baseball, sometimes these big contracts.
I don't agree with that statement, though. You think he has a good shot of being a starting quarterback?
A backup or something, and then he'll play a game.
He would get a chance to be a starting quarterback, because if you're drafted in the first or second round, they're going to see what you have to be a starting quarterback. And they say he compares size-wise to Russell Wilson. So just imagine him being Russell. I don't know if he's as good as Russell Wilson in the NFL game. I don't know. But if I'm him, I'm playing baseball.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries, there is no – I mean, just the small stature of him playing in the NFL – NFL careers are so much shorter than they are in Major League Baseball. Yes, you may get to the NFL and you may start games sooner, but you may be out of the league a lot quicker.
Hey, and I'm not even going to answer your question. I'm going to say, how badass is it to be Kyler Murray? How awesome, because
to have
Eddie,
those options
in football, your torch was put out senior year. Mm-hmm. Eddie, you're not good enough to play college football. Torch is out. Lunch, you're a good runner. You're not going to be a college runner. Torch is out.
Well, that's easy on that.
Torch was still burning a little bit. Listen,
hey, even today, the torch is still burning.
Boys, my senior year in college, I let the torch burn into college, and then that's when I got cut from baseball. My torch was put out. I had torches put out to where you're not allowed to play these sports anymore because you're not good. He has two torches burning. He's still good at football and baseball, and he can choose the torch. Dude, what an amazing life. How talented. That is baller.
God-given?
A lot of it, God-given. Like, he was just that. I mean, he was just born that way, and he was just athletic. And he knew probably from a young age he was a stud athlete. Can you imagine seeing him in
high school?
Oh my God.
Pee Wee.
He was dominating in Pee Wee.
I know, like, people like to think back to Pop Warner and Pee Wee, but usually when you start to get the crazy domination is middle school, high school.
I think if you have an NFL athlete or a Major League Baseball player or an NBA player, I think they are dropping. I mean, they're dominating at the youth level. My uncle,
yes,
my cousin played youth basketball, and they were.
What age is that?
Well, I mean, he was 9 years old. Yeah. Okay, and he coached this guy named AJ Abrams. He played at UT basketball. He didn't go to the NBA or anything, but he said at 9 years old, this A.J. Abrams kid was doing behind the back, no look passes. He said it was unbelievable.
Interesting.
And he used to tell my nephew, just go stand by the basket because he'll find you. He goes, you may not be open, or just look at him and he's going to, I mean, he may not be looking at you, but be ready because the ball is coming. He said he was draining threes. He said at 9 years old, he was 100 times better than anybody in the league.
That's awesome, because I didn't know that the separation started that early. I guess I always just kind of thought when you see the, Little League World Series, you're starting to see the separation then, and especially into middle school, especially into high school. That's really when there's separation. I felt when they're little, it's all, but that's crazy. That's a neat story.
My little one, he's 5. Last year,
is there separation?
He was playing soccer, 4-year-old league, 4-year-old, and there was this kid we called Little Ronaldo, because he just killed everyone. Like, it was like Ronaldo had 20 goals. When all the other kids were just trying to get the ball, Ronaldo would run around, and he knew the game at 4 years old. He has nowhere to go but up. Like, he's going to play Major League Soccer.
Okay, little Ronaldo.
Listen, he's 4 years
old.
Hey,
4-year-old scout over here, y'all.
Dude, he just had it. And I don't know where it comes from, but he's got what all those other kids. It's not like his dad played with him every day, whatever. He just knew how to play soccer. He knew how to control his feet, and he would kick goals and make it every single time.
Dang. I think the separation starts at a young age. I mean, when I was younger, our little league, Balcony's Little League, we had the 12-year-old team that goes to the Little League World Series. They were one game away from being in the Little League World Series. Marty Hardy, Damon Beard, they were...
Marty Hardy.
He's naming the top, the whole lineup.
I'm just telling you, at that
age... I like that name.
I mean, they were...
At Kidger, Little Johnny Mugrat.
But they were 4 or 5 years older than me, okay? And you could just tell how dominant they were. I mean, they dominated.
But
I'm saying the individual players, okay. They were like Marty Hardy played basketball in high school, and he was still drafted by the Atlanta Braves from what he did in Little League because they were like, okay, this dude is so good, but he wanted to play basketball. He didn't go play baseball. So I think the separation starts at a young age. Yes. You know, from early on. I played baseball and soccer with this kid named Jeremy. He didn't play soccer till we were 11 years old. He'd never played in his life, and he was the best soccer player I've ever played with in my life. And
Where is he playing now?
Nowhere, because he wanted to try to play football. He got letters from.
You ever seen Jadon Construction down the street? He's over there.
He got letters from, you know, big schools like UCLA and things like that for football. But I am telling you, if he would have played soccer, I honestly believe he could have been a professional soccer player.
That is a great transition. So coming back to Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Now, what does he do?
And
if he picks baseball, is that a mistake?
No. If he plays baseball, he will be in the major leagues in 2 years. 2 years.
Your prediction.
Yeah. I think he's that good of an athlete, and I think he's that good of a baseball player that he will be in the major leagues in 2 years. Maybe quicker. That's how good he is.
Maybe he doesn't even really love football that much. Everybody's like, what will he choose? He says it. He's so confident. He says he's choosing baseball. Yeah, because in the back of his head, he's like, football kind of sucks. It's crazy. I'm good at it. And we actually might have a chance at winning the championship. Football kind of sucks, though. I hate getting hit and tackled. You guys ever been tackled before?
Yeah, it's not good.
It sucks being tackled.
I've been hit so hard where I saw heaven. Like, I saw a white light.
Really?
The next thing you know, everyone's around me like, get up, you good? Like, yeah, dude, that was one block that I never saw coming.
Dude, there's not one thing people don't talk about, how much football sucks. Yeah. It sucks.
It hurts.
So bad.
But let me tell you something, though. I think Kyler Murray... I feel like he has a role model in Patrick Mahomes, though, in this decision. Because you have Patrick Mahomes, who is a baseball player as well, and he picked football.
But I don't think Patrick Mahomes was as good as Kyler Murray in baseball.
I've never seen Kyler Murray play baseball.
But if you're drafted number 9 overall, you're amazing at baseball. You're amazing.
I wonder if he sees Mahomes and says, well, look at Mahomes. I mean, he's a baseball player. His dad was a baseball player. And he's playing football, and he's dominating football. Maybe I can dominate football. I wonder if he looks at Patrick Mahomes and maybe makes the decision a little harder.
Maybe. And speaking of Oklahoma, the rankings come out last night. They're number 5.
Woo!
Okay?
Boys, that game, Boomer.
Yeah, I said it. I said Oklahoma's going to be ahead of Ohio State.
Okay. So now, here's my thing. If Oklahoma wins this weekend...
They in.
If Alabama wins, Oklahoma has to be in. I don't want this committee... to tell me after this weekend that Oklahoma and Ohio State both win, Georgia loses, and then if they have Ohio State jump Oklahoma, then it's an absolute joke. Either if you think Oklahoma's better right now, they're going to beat, if they beat Texas, who is higher ranked than who Ohio State is playing, then Oklahoma stays better than Ohio State and they are in the playoff. This, if they set it up for drama where they're going to have Ohio State jump Oklahoma.
What are you going to do?
Then it's an absolute joke.
I don't know anything about this system or whatever, but I feel like in the last 10 years that I've just been around people that love college sports, have this dumb conversation every year about, I cannot believe they ranked this team over that team. It's so stupid. The committee's so dumb. Don't they do that all the time?
Well, yes. What I'm saying, though, is Oklahoma is playing number 14 Texas this weekend. Right now, Oklahoma is ranked higher than Ohio State, okay? Ohio State, number 6, is playing number 21 Northwestern.
No, I understand numbers.
If both teams win, who's better?
Oklahoma.
Because even the committee is saying it. They're 5 and the others are 6.
They're 5 and 6, and Oklahoma's playing a better team, according to the committee, this weekend. So there is no way, absolutely no way, if both teams win, can Ohio State jump Oklahoma if we're doing it legitimately. If they're just doing it for drama, then it's crap.
Yeah, and we were doing that. What are you doing?
Nothing.
You're just smelling your hat?
No, my face is cold.
It threw me off. I'm trying to make a point.
He got me like he was going to say he was disgusted.
Dude, he's trying to make a point. I thought you were going trash bag over your face.
Well,
like
you
for something.
Focus on your point.
My point is this. So we did that article we retweeted about, what is it, Dave Wojnarowski? Was that it? And we said that
Dan Wetzel.
Yeah, that none of these games matter this weekend, that they're pointless, and we should have a top 8, top 6. The game that is going to be amazing, you had a great article, but Texas-Oklahoma on Saturday is must-see TV. At 11 a.m.
Absolutely,
that
is huge,
dude. I can't wait for that game. I don't really care about Alabama later,
but why is it huge? If just because of the Ohio State,
dude. If Oklahoma wins, they're in the champion, the top 4,
right? Or they can just create drama, and the committee could vote Ohio State up.
Right, but it's great must-see TV. It's their one loss on the year. They lost to Texas. They're going for a Big 12 championship.
If they win, they're in the four. And, dude, I had a buddy. I mean, I have a personal relationship to it where my buddy was like, dude, we're done. The fact that Oklahoma has a chance to control their own destiny and get back into the championship hunt is amazing to me. Dude, and it's the Red River rivalry again.
Yes, it is. And it is. The thing is, Big 12, I mean, I'm tired of snowflakes. I am tired of the snowflake world we live in. It's
the weather?
The weather, too. I don't like the snowflakes and the weather. But I'm talking...
I'm tired of the ice and the rain and the bad roads.
I'm tired of the frozen tundra.
Warming your car up sucks.
I'm tired.
You gotta buy de-icer.
I am absolutely tired of us worrying about everybody's feelings and everybody being so soft. The Big 12 commissioner has come out and said, the Oklahoma players are not allowed to do horns down this weekend at the Big 12 championship.
Oh, the fans will for sure be doing it. You know every camera shot into the crowd? Boomer Sooner.
Horns down.
Boomer they sooner. Have been
Boomer
doing
sooner.
Let me see.
Horns
let me
down.
Go back and look at history and see how long Texas's opponents have been doing horns down.
You may find some real gritty black and white pictures of
it. It's been about 100 years. It's called sports. It's called rivalries. People can do the horns down. This is so stupid. Quit acting like these kids are 5 years old and they can't handle the horns down.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I was watching a game maybe 2 weeks ago, was going to tweet it, was going to take a picture of it, didn't have the DVR function. But a guy did the throat slash and there was no penalty. But all of a sudden...
You can cut someone's throat.
You can do the throat slash and there's no penalty, but you do horns down and there's a penalty.
That's ridiculous.
So that was their coach, somebody else. That's not necessarily saying the refs. That's still a subjective thing where the ref decides if that's a penalty or not.
No, the conference.
So they're saying that's a penalty.
They're saying you cannot do horns down. Lincoln Riley came out and said in a radio interview, we were told we are not allowed to do horns down. Like, why are we so concerned about horns down? Anybody else can do anything, but horns down is so bad. Like,
can the Aggies still do their little gun and go whoop?
Well, they can do that, but if you do whoop down, I guess that's a penalty.
Oh, whoop
I don't
down's
know.
Not good. Okay,
dude, you know one of the guys. Maybe it's with the hands and the fingers because there is a finger that means something really bad in our world.
Which one?
One of them. But what I'm saying is, what if one of the players tricked them? Like they're going to do horns down, but then they do look inside the church and see all the people. I mean, stuff like hand gestures. Some of that stuff is fine, but it's the horns down. Is there a way you can trick them that they think you're going to do a horns down, but then you're doing like a tic-tac, they're doing like this, twiddling the thumbs, you're doing thumb wars.
Oh, thumb war, yeah.
Can they do the
If they're doing rock and roll?
Thank you. Yeah. There's other hand gestures.
Hey, can they do the one where you got the two hands together and then you put it in someone else's hand and then you open it up?
Don't do that one.
That's a bad one. That's a bad
one. What if he's doing I love you, Mom, to her through the TV
sign
at
language.
Home, but the horn down, no.
Mm-mm.
I don't understand why they think that these 18 to 22-year-old kids can't handle the horns down.
Well, they've been fighting over it, though, haven't they?
But who has been? Why is this all of a sudden an issue? Texas is? It's been happening to them for 100 years, and now all of a sudden we're concerned about it. I don't even think Texas players care.
Where did it come from? West Virginia? Like what happened?
Like it's been.
Nah, something happened recently.
It was a penalty.
West Virginia got penalized when they scored a touchdown. But it's
so that's what happened, and then they're kind of saying, like, look, we don't want useless penalties to happen. We don't want
it doesn't need to be a penalty. Don't call it a penalty. That's what you should say.
Yeah,
but they're allowed to do horns down. Stop.
But isn't the rule where you just can't do any, what's it called? What's the
unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah, I'm thinking the foul language one. But, yeah, so just unsportsmanlike conduct. That's what it falls under?
Yes.
That's pretty dumb.
And I would say about 5 years ago, I hope I'm right on this, you couldn't even do any dance when you got in the end zone in a college sport, like in football.
Right.
You know, in NFL, you can dance, you can do the
but
dirty
then for
bird.
For a while there, that was
for
a big
college,
deal.
You had to run into the end zone like you were in uniform, like literally a military cadet.
Tension!
Boom, straight into the end zone, to your room. Now they kind of let them dance a little bit. They let them turn
in
around.
The NFL.
In the college.
No, college, they will take the touchdown off the board.
I'm not
sometimes.
Saying they're hot-dogging it. They're doing Deion Sanders, but they're moving their legs hot dog style a little bit. They're getting away with a little more. I wish they could do the horns down, but they're letting them do more than they always have.
Now, it's just disappointing the Big 12 commissioner and the Big 12 thinks that the Texas football team is so sensitive that they can't handle the horns down. The Texas football team can handle the horns down.
They've been dealing with
it for years. They are They are grown, well, not grown men, but
they're adults.
They're adults. They can handle a little horns down. I am sorry, and this is just terrible. I just don't get why we are making everything so sensitive to pat everybody's feelings. Like, and if the Texas players want to say, oh, OU still sucks, let them say, oh, OU still sucks.
Yeah, what if he comes out and he's like, okay, and then also in interviews, if there is a time mentioned, like it's 11:30, you are not allowed to say after, and OU still sucks.
Well, the Texas linebacker, he did have to come out and give an apology because he said that. I mean, these are college athletes, guys.
Now, I did watch the Duke game last night, and I LOL'd because I've never seen them do this whole like handshake on another player.
Oh, when they do the free throws?
No. They were about to check in a player, and literally
it's the Cameron Crazies.
Guys, I'm new to this crap. I don't know anything about it. But it's called what? The Cameron?
Well, no, that's Duke Indoor. That's Cameron Indoor. It's Cameron Crazies. They do all this wacky stuff to the opposing team.
Guys, I don't know where I've been, but I've never seen everyone put their hands around a random player who's really just trying to check into the game, and they're almost touching him, going whoa, waving their hands right around him, and he's acting like nothing's happening. Like
you
it's
have
a
to.
Ghost.
You can't. Acknowledge it.
I freaking love it. And to me, that falls under the whole kind don't be doing the Cameron crazy around.
Don't be shaking your hands at people. They may get their feelings hurt. That could be a technical foul on your crowd. I mean, it's just so bizarre.
Yeah, I agree with
so
you.
So bizarre. And speaking of UT football, they got a chance to win the Big 12 championship now.
Crazy.
This weekend. Also, there's a new bill that's been introduced in the state of Texas by a guy out of San Antonio. He wants to make it a law that Texas and Texas A&M had to play football on Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, or the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
He wants to make it a law that they have to play.
Because that went on for like 30 years or something.
It went on for so long. It's a rivalry.
Maybe
he says
longer
the
than 30
state,
years.
Who is it? Is it Tech or A&M?
It's Texas and A&M. And that
Texas,
was
Texas and Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. He wants them to play, and he wants it to be a law.
That's what was so funny about, like, that was the rivalry. I remember being a kid and then everyone just having the, Longhorns, Aggies. And then all of a sudden it was just like, Aggie who? Like, whatever, we're just playing. OU is the rivalry. Texas OU, that's the rivalry. So this guy's probably bitter. He's probably an older dude, huh?
Yeah, I think he went to A&M.
Yeah.
And he...
Those are the people that are... The Aggies are bitter about that rivalry because
Lyle
that was
Larson,
a big deal.
And it's House Bill 412. And if they do not... He wants to make it a state law that they play. And if they do not play, the penalty would be forfeit of state funds for athletic scholarships or financial aid for football players. He wants to take financial aid away from football players because they won't play a football game.
That's funny.
First of all, no, it's not funny. It's stupid.
No, it's not going to pass, Coach.
I don't care. He is an elected official.
Do you know that you can write whatever law you want?
I understand.
And you
that.
Know there are some real ridiculous ones
I
out there?
I understand that. But what is he doing? He is wasting my taxpayer dollars writing these stupid bills that have no place. Get out of sports and worry about fixing the community, the economy. Go fix the pothole on Loop 410 down there in San Antonio.
They fixed it. I checked yesterday.
I do not understand this. It is
you're getting riled up over something. You know, all of these guys write dumb bills.
Like, really? They write dumb bills. They're going to take financial aid away from students because they're not playing a football game.
And it'll never pass. Coach, I used to work at the Capitol in my news, and it was a stupid rule. I was a news cameraman, and if I was going to be in the House of Representatives, I had to wear a tie and a coat. So I'd go into work with shorts, but guess what I had in my locker? A tie and a coat. So for the whole day, I would go into the House of Representatives with shorts, flip-flops, a tie and a coat.
Dude, I did an internship with Fox in Austin, and the dude in his car had a suit coat, a tie, and he would randomly throw it on. I would go, what are we doing? Why are you
have to.
Only on the upper, though.
Only
he could
on
wear
the
jeans
upper.
And tennis shoes.
You
then.
Wear whatever you want on the bottom, but you have to have a suit and a tie. Coach, and I sat through all of these dumb meetings, and you would be shocked at how many stupid laws or bills that they're trying to pass that people just go, Jerry. Anyone say aye? Okay, that was 100-0. It's not passing. Rejected.
What's the next bill, yo?
No, what's the next bills, one? Though? But they're actual bills.
There are a lot of joke ones. And, dude, I'm telling you, these politicians, there was a bar, just a funny story.
So they're
real
just
quick.
Wasting my tax dollars.
Coach, their whole life is a waste. I'm telling you, when it's session time, when it's time to write these bills and see if they pass, they come in from all of their little districts and they sit in Austin, Texas, in the middle of this, that's the state capitol, and they stay there for weeks at a time, and that's when they go to do session. They have nothing to do. They chill. They're always talking while someone's at the podium trying to just like sell whatever the bill is, and no one's even listening to them. And they're like, all right, time to vote. And people are like, what is this one again? Oh, just say no. I didn't even listen to it. I watched it happen with my own eyes. And coach, come 5 or 6 o'clock when it's over, they all go to this bar called the Cloakroom right across the street from the Capitol. And it's where all the politicians hang out. Coach, you go to the bathroom and there's graffiti on the walls. They're like, House Bill of 2472 sucks. Like, they're children. Like, these guys, yes, they're using taxpayer dollars. But, coach, they're just people like us. They're stupid. They're dumb. Some of them are really smart. Some of them are really dumb. That's just who they are.
Dude, you just totally explained his bill thing. I thought it was a pretty serious thing, but it happens all
the
time.
It's trash.
Yeah, it is trash. And this guy's trash. Yeah.
That would be cool if they started playing again.
No, it would be nice because there are, like, rivalries are fun. But the OU-Texas rivalry is awesome. The Duke-North Carolina in basketball is awesome.
Rivalries are cool, but there's already a Texas-OU rivalry.
Right, he wants it on certain days, though. I like that. Maybe we don't need the Lions.
No, he wants the Aggies to be a rivalry
again. Right, but
again.
He's
it's
also about
happen.
To be in on a certain day. And, I mean, we don't need the Lions on Thanksgiving anymore. Hell, we don't even need LeBron every Christmas.
Yes, we do. No, stop.
You know what we do need, though?
I want LeBron every Christmas. You know, I want the best basketball player in the world on TV on Christmas so I can watch him.
I haven't even seen the schedule, but I guarantee you I know who's playing on Christmas.
All right, so we've
Santa and LeBron.
We've decided Cowboys on Thanksgiving, yes, right?
Lions.
Yeah, yes. Lions love
Lions,
it.
Yes. Phil and Tiger.
Day after Thanksgiving?
No.
No? Not every year?
We had one of our buddies tweet, this is going to be something that restructures the way that golf is watched. This Tiger Phil match. I hope he deleted that tweet.
I mean, good try, boys.
Lunch put it perfectly. That thing was a fucking train wreck.
I mean, it was an absolute train wreck.
To the point they refunded people. That was terrible.
I mean, that's just so
never bad. Try that again on the American public.
So you're telling me that's not going to be a tradition every day?
I don't
after
think we're
going to
see that.
Or like people paying for golf and there's only two golfers out there and the lights go out and they play on a par 3 course to determine the winner.
Two dudes retire, and be like, all right, Fowler versus McIlroy. Okay, nobody cares.
Yeah, no one cares. Golf, I don't understand the one-on-one because they play every weekend. I mean, it's just like, whatever. And man, guys, can I say I feel bad for Mackenzie Milton?
Who is he?
The UCF quarterback.
Yeah, I've seen some details come out of this bad boy.
They said he had an injured nerve and blood flow issues to his leg as a result of that hit. Like, we're talking, like, he's going to have another surgery. He's got blood flow back in his right leg. The nerve is injured, but it's intact. Mm. But he's going to have more surgery to reconstruct the surgery after his knee. I mean, it's just...
You come back from something like that?
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if it's over.
They say he may never play again.
They say Alex Smith may never play again also.
Wow, they say that?
Because he's older.
Dang.
But this kid, he had a shot at the NFL.
I thought he did. In my eyes, I'm not a scout. Never have been. But I did think that he has a live arm. He was putting up crazy numbers. Looked like an amazing quarterback at a smaller school. I thought he had a shot at the NFL.
And I just, I read these stories and I'm just like, what? I mean, it just looks, one little play. He's probably made that play 100 times. And this one, he suffers nerve damage, blood flow issues to his leg. Like, that is so scary. And
dude,
it's just
that's why
so
football
sad.
Sucked. My friends, when I was growing up, I would be like, listen, is it tackle or touch? Tackle, I'm out. I'm only playing touch. All the time. I hated tackle football. Hey, we're going to go to the playground and play. Is it tackle or touch? I think we're going to do tackle. I'm out. I'll see you guys next week at school.
Now, we did play tackle down in the ditch, and that it was fun. And when you were a kid, because I don't think we were ever getting hit like this. But, man.
So I always wondered, like, you know, when they show players, like, all right, they're about to hit the field and they pray real quick or they do a little sign of the cross, like, are they praying or asking God for protection? Like, don't.
Or are they asking them to win?
Or are they asking for a touchdown? So, like, and I think that kind of helps me understand that a little bit. Like, maybe it is for protection. Like, you never know what's going to happen. You never know how you're going to get hit, right? But
correct.
But then the kickers, they do it. Sometimes some of these kickers do it before every kick.
Well, they do it to make their field goal.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I don't think the field goal is worried about getting hurt. Usually.
You'll see the place kick. You're like, all right, do a little sign of the cross.
But it's football, yeah, contact sport. But you realize when you get on the interstate, you're driving around machines that are going 70, 80 miles an hour.
Do you do a sign of the cross before you get in your car?
I mean, dude, that's driving on the interstate is also very, very dangerous. For some reason, I just realized this recently.
Sound like my dad right now.
I went to the mall south of town. Usually, I'm just going on these roads that are 20 miles an hour. You know when you get on the interstate and you got cars whizzing by you 70, 80 miles an hour, how dangerous that is?
Lunchbox, what? Why are you shaking your head?
I mean, you realize everything. I mean, you walk down the street, it's dangerous because a car could jump the curb and hit you. Yes.
No, that's what I'm saying. Players crossing themselves before a game. I mean, we live a fragile life.
We do live a fragile life.
Well, our bodies are very fragile.
And I do, when I'm driving sometimes, I think, I am trusting all these other strangers to be safe so that I'm safe. Like, these strangers, my life is in the hand of all these strangers on the road. Like, I can control my car, but do I trust that Eddie, Ray, anybody else is a good enough driver to make sure I'm safe? And or when you're on a two-lane road, one car going one way and the other, you know, like...
Up north, there's only one road.
I guess one way each way.
Yes.
Yes.
Those are the most terrifying roads in the world.
They're few and far between nowadays.
Because I was going out to the country roads.
Yeah,
I was going out to the burbs for a house party a couple weeks ago, and my buddy's house, you got to go on this one of those roads to get to his neighborhood, and I'm just like, if anybody is texting and driving or any or just looks down for 1 minute, mm-hmm. it's over for me.
It's over.
It's over.
Oh, that's Coach, a head-on collision.
Now when I'm at a whatever stoplight, you're driving through traffic, if you see somebody to your right, left, behind you, and you see they're on their phone, I'm out. I immediately go in the other lane. I'm getting away from that car.
It's really sick, the amount of people that if you look into their car while they're driving, are on their phone texting.
Coach, it's terrible.
Everyone. And I want to get a paintball gun or something and just shoot them right in the window and be like, pop, get off your phone. Something to wake them up and be like, oh, crap. Shouldn't be doing that.
Hey, you should roll down the window to stop like, hey, hey, phone down.
Do you do that?
Phone down. No, I'm going to start doing it.
Please get us some audio. Terrible. I'll laugh so hard.
Oh, man. I mean, that's...
But you know, on that, though, like, Ray's parents, like, they don't even drive in the city when they come visit him because right. they're scared of
what I just said, interstates and traffic. My parents are so scared. They come within maybe 10 miles of Nashville, but they don't go downtown. They don't go in the fast spots. They go around Nashville.
But it's funny. Lunchbox is not scared of this traffic. He's scared of the country traffic, which your parents are probably like, this is what I like.
They're fine with the two-lane roads. They don't like the 70, 80 miles an hour, and they don't like tons of cars.
Yeah. So basically, we're just scared of what we don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's right, because I am terrified of the country roads. But on the country roads, I guess there's not as many people on the roads.
Right.
So it's not as scary, so you're not. There's a less of a chance of it happening, but...
But when you're driving a country road, you're just hoping that car doesn't move over a foot. I mean, if they move a foot in your direction, they're going to hit you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of trust for somebody you don't even know.
Yeah, and Leonard Fournette lost his appeal. He's out this weekend against the Colts.
That was quite the fight.
It was a good fight. So if you got him on fantasy or if you're just a Jaguars fan, I mean, it's
he
just,
was hurt all year and he came back for one game for you.
That's pretty rare, though, right? To see like a key player like Fournette, they need him to win. Like they need Leonard Fournette. They waited so long to get Leonard Fournette back, and now he's out because he got into a fight.
But they waited too long. I mean, the season's over.
I know, but still, it's just crazy to see like a key player like that get into a fight and go out.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted, I saw it on Busted Coverage. You guys ever go to that website?
No. It's good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Somebody tweeted, some expert.
Guys,
some
I barely watch games.
I wish I knew the NFL writer, but he goes, hey, 7 years, save this tweet. Blake Bortles is going to be a superstar in the league.
Did you save it?
Somebody did. Somebody did. Yeah. And he just got benched. They're like, ah, get him out of here. He's probably
guys, everybody's going to have wrong takes. You go out, you know what I mean? You say
of
stuff.
Of course.
If you're in sports like us. Hey, I mean, you're going to have wrong takes every once in a while.
But I must say about us, we've had some pretty damn good takes.
Dude, look who's in the Final Four. I mean, I said Notre Dame would be there. How cool is that?
I said the Jags were going to suck this year.
You did.
You said Thielen was going to be a good receiver.
I said Thielen was
or whatever your dumbass prediction was.
I mean, the point is just say stupid crap and something's going to stick.
And I mean, if you get a decent amount of the crap you say right, if you get more of the crap you say right than wrong, you're considered an expert.
This is all it is. Is you're supposed to give opinions. Your opinions, that's why you do this, is to have opinions. Sometimes they're wrong, sometimes they're right. You're going to look stupid a lot of time. You're going to look smart sometimes. It's not about the right and wrong. It's as long as you have passion and you have stuff to back it up.
Not the stuff to back it up. You can say stuff and make the backup. You can make up that crap too. Like you can just be like, yeah, because of whatever. And it just still sounds good.
Yeah.
But I still think there should be a final, like, okay, like, you were right about this, and okay, no, you were wrong about that.
No, you can't, because there's so much stuff you say. Because it changes day to day. Your opinion changes on everything.
That's what I hate about it, though. No one's ever held accountable for being like, You know what? You're always wrong. You should probably stop talking about this.
Well,
crap.
We hold each other pretty accountable. Like when we miss a lock, we get drilled. Yes. So we try to hold each other accountable.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you're gonna be scared to be wrong, then you're not gonna be able to do it because you're gonna be wrong a lot.
So it's okay to be wrong.
Yes.
And be right.
I don't know what you said.
I was trying to come up with a cool quote.
I don't know. Do it. But you know what time it is? It's 11:33 a.m. Central Time, and OU still sucks. Horns down. That's all I wanted to do.
Flag.
15-yard penalty on me for both ways.
Get that off the board.
That was great. Throw it on the board.
Where's my flag? It's my beanie, my yellow beanie.
All right.
Flag, penalty.
I do not have a lock.
Cheating on Lunchbox.
Eddie, are you shutting the door on anything?
Hit me up Friday
Lunch,
midnight.
Lunch, are you taking anything to the bank?
Yeah, I'm taking something to the bank. The OU players won't do horns down this weekend. I'll take that to the bank. So stupid.
I bet you one does.
I bet you they don't.
That's a good bet.
That's a 15-yard penalty. There's no way Lincoln Riley would kick them off the team if they're that stupid. Unless they get up by 30 and then they don't care about a little penalty. But, yes, it's just let's quit making everybody snowflakes, everybody. We can have hurt feelings or we're tough enough to take a little horns down or an OU still sucks.
Hey, guys, I'll have a lock for tomorrow. I'll be back for Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, you will. That's going to be a good game. All right, everybody, have a wonderful day. Hit us up on Twitter, Sore Loser Show on Twitter. Have a wonderful day, and we out of here.
Do you guys come up with a good title for this?
One of our people tweeted us, and they said to name it after them.
Okay, what's their name?
We'll say horns down and OU still sucks. Okay. That's what we're going to do.
But I do want to – that's our first tweet, right?
What, about the title of it?
But somebody wanted the title to be their name.
Hit us up.
What did you want, Lunchbox? Horn down what?
Horns down and OU still sucks.
That's so stupid.
Micah Didos said, Sore Loser Show. My man, name the show after me, pimp.
All right, we will. We'll get on it. Right, not today.
Not today.
He wants us to title it Micah Didos.
Okay.
I love that. We got to do it for that.
All right. Not today, but we're out of here.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye, everybody.
You have the worst buzzer ever.
Dude, I'm losing it. Oh, that hurts.